You're listening to Iowa's Jazz Station, 88.3 KCCK, and this is Talking Pictures, our weekly review of movies and film. I'm Hollis Monroe, here with Denny Lynch and Phil Brown. Denny, start us off.
All right. Their Finest is set in 1940. It's a British film about the British film industry getting involved in making a feature film that they can show in America to get America to come in on the British side in World War II. Gemma Arterton is a secretary who gets hired to do some documentary thing and eventually becomes a writer on this large project. The Blitz is going on, so there's problems getting around in London. It's a really interesting look at how films were made in 1940. Lots of old equipment. They try to stage Dunkirk.
And oh, my.
They do it with a glass painting where you see the soldiers all painted on the beach. And then the camera, and it looks great, and then the camera moves, and you understand how this technique worked. So I enjoyed it from a film history bit. There's a bit of rough language, some nudity, some sexual references. It does have an R rating. Could easily play on Masterpiece Theater with a few minor tweaks. It's also got Bill Nighy and Jack Houston. Some drama, some tragedy, some comedy. I thought it was well mixed. I'd give it 3 out of 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. I like films that are about filmmaking and stuff like that.
We do that.
It's a favorite.
We must
type.
Talk about movies
We
someday.
Should, and focus on that very thing, which I'm not going to focus on for this one here, because it's not. Well, in some ways, all films are about films. And this one here, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Guy Ritchie takes on another iconic figure. He seems to be into this mode right now. I guess his next film projected is Aladdin, so we'll
really?
See where that goes. But he's done Man from U.N.C.L.E., and he did the 2 Sherlock Holmes films, and it kind of makes sense for him to maybe take on one of the great texts of all time, and that is the Arthurian legend. This is very much of another one of the origin stories. I know people get head up about origin stories.
Yes.
The development of Arthur, you know, from the young boy out of Londinium, who is a reluctant hero, and that's very much a part of the Arthurian myth. He's the reluctant hero, and he has to embrace what the people want him to do, is to take on the mantle of power to stand against the standing king, who Jude Law does a fantastic job in this film as Vortigern. Okay, and I got to say that Charlie Hunnam does a nice job in this film. I'm really growing to like him. I like the Sons of Anarchy and the Pacific Rim. Roles that he did. So he does a nice job of assaying Arthur, who has to come to grips with the sword, how to use the sword. He doesn't know how to use the sword. He even abandons the sword at one point, but it's brought back to him.
You hold it at the grip end, not the blade.
Right, that's exactly right. Right, but you got to hold it with two hands. It's the two-hand bit that he has trouble with.
Okay.
I went in thinking that I might not be a big fan of this film, but I came out enjoying it. There were the person who really stole the film, as far as I'm concerned, is, and I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce her name correctly, Astrid Berger Frisbee, or Frisbee. She plays the mage in this film. She is the magical individual who sort of helps Arthur through his initiation.
So she's Merlin.
She's sort of, right, okay. But she's called the mage. Merlin himself doesn't is sort of mentioned at one point, but he's not a central figure at all in this thing. But the mage, very much a film about power. How do you wield power? And how do you accept the authority of power? What does that do? Does that make you an ultimate dictator like the king that is seated at that point? Or as Arthur himself will learn how to mete out justice and the use of power. And in some ways, it's sort of maybe metaphorical of our era, okay, and our age. It's very typical Ritchie in style, rapid edits, use a lot of folded time type of approaches. John Matheson did the cinematography, James Herbert did the editing, and did a really nice job. The editor in his films, I have to be sort of like co-star with him. The music kept me interested. Daniel Pemberton did the music. It'll hold you through the credits, okay? I enjoyed it. It was a fun film.
Okay.
Excellent.
I may have to give this a chance. The reviews have not been kind to it.
No, it hasn't.
I don't expect it to play in theaters very long either.
No. There were hardly anybody there when I went.
All right. I caught another British comedy. There were only two of us in the theater, called Absolutely Anything. It's a little H.G. Wells, a little Monty Python, a little Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Essentially, aliens have to decide whether they're going to blow up the Earth. And the aliens are voiced by five of the members of the Monty Python team. The only one of whom I recognized really was John Cleese. The others are such distorted characters, I couldn't make them out. So they pick a schlub on Earth. Simon Pegg is a school teacher in a middle school. They give him power to do anything he wants. All he has to do is wave his hand. And there's lots of running around. There's some good comedy. He doesn't have a girlfriend, but he likes this other girl in their apartment. She has a jealous boyfriend. The principal at the school is wonderfully played by Eddie Izzard. He has a wonderful time. I laughed a few times. There was kind of a long, slow period in the middle, but the beginning was really good, and the ending was really good. There was one point where he calls down a curse, destroy 10C, talking about his classroom, just nuke all the kids and everything. And when he said it with his British accent quickly in the theater, what I heard was, destroy Tennessee. That made me laugh.
I was afraid that the powers that be were going to get it wrong and we lose Memphis.
Yes. Mildly interesting. Terry Jones, it was his last directing job. Mm-hmm. He came down shortly thereafter with a communications problem. His brain's still working. It's not Alzheimer's. It's something completely different where he can't talk.
Yes. For Denny Lynch and Phil Brown, I'm Hollis Monroe on Jazz 88.3 KCCK.